huge topic of conversation on last week's episode was, is the rivalry back? Is the Leafs-Habs rivalry back? Before we answer that, I'd just like to say, we were like a week early on that.
Yeah, we were way early on that.
All I've heard since the Monday night game against the Canucks ended was the rivalry. The original six rivalry. The return of the rivalry. And I'm like, oh, if you want to talk rivalry, you go check out episode 75 of the Talkin' Buds podcast. We were all over that.
We were there before everyone else was. We were on that rivalry. And the views on YouTube and the interaction, it says that we were there first and people are interested. So they hopped on our train.
Yeah, people love a little Leafs-Habs talk.
Yeah, especially when you're vying for number one in the division. You got a big game, 2 of 10, as we heard 78,000 times tonight.
So this was the second straight game where I don't think the Leafs played particularly well for 60 minutes, yet scored their way out of it and pick up a W.
And pick up the W, and that's all that matters right now, is 11-2-1. When's the last time the Leafs were 11-2-1?
And atop the, not atop the Canadian division, atop the league.
And don't give me the NHL divisions and they're just playing in one division. They're the tops in the league, tops in their division, 11-2-1. And no matter how you're doing it, and it gets me going too when they're winning these games too, and they're 11-2-1, and everybody just tries to throw a stat in my face about this guy's 5-on-5 play and this guy's lack of production, this guy's possession numbers. Throw another analytic at me. The only thing that matters is
I'm scratching my eyes out of like just like I'm exhausted at this very same topic.
The only thing that matters is the record. And you want to talk about tonight, a game where they did not particularly play their best game. And guess what? They won. They came out with a W. They found a way for their depth scoring to come through and to beat the Montreal Canadiens, who are all the most depth-filled hockey team you've ever seen in your entire... We roll four lines. Julien. Oh, four lines. Oh,
the
cool,
same,
bud.
The same YouTube clip you were talking about, we received criticism about you last week saying the Habs didn't have scoring depth, Leafs have.
Yeah, I made a little comment. You can go back and look at it, that the Leafs have more scoring than the Habs, but the Habs have more depth. And some jamoke had the gall to come at me about the Habs being the top goal scoring team in the National Hockey League. Tonight,
you're fired up. You're in promo cutting mode right now. Yeah.
Tonight,
you're fired up.
The Leafs scored 4 goals. The Habs scored 2.
Yeah.
And
so who's got the scoring depth now?
And check back the last couple of years, and I'll go into my little nerd mode here. Check the last couple of years. The Leafs have outscored the Habs for the last 4 to 5 years. So don't give me that. Don't give me this. I'm all popped up over 10 games. The Leafs are one of the best goal scoring teams in the National Hockey League. I don't care what anybody says.
I like that. Like when you really get into promo mode, you even put your hand on the mic. Mm-hmm. And you're like,
exactly.
Yeah,
I'm like, always fishing around here. Do I grab it like this? Do I grab it like that?
I don't know if anyone noticed, like you're talking and my mic stand's a little wobbly. So I'm like casually like, cause I'm talking to you and it's just like,
well, you got to get a better mic stand.
I'm sitting here like, yeah, this is,
is that the $12 Amazon
special?
Yeah. Ah, there you go. Yeah. I think mine's like the $20 special. Yeah. So it's amazing what $8 can do in the Amazon world.
Anyways. So yeah, they didn't play great for, I want to say, 2 periods, but they did what they did the other night against the Canucks. It's just they kind of just went, all right, we're going to score some goals now. And that is what separates this team.
Yeah, and tonight was phenomenal. Like, all promo cutting aside, it's when you get goals from Hall, Dermott, Mikheyev, like, that's how you win hockey games, when your best guys aren't going or when you're not playing your best hockey. And it's just, that is so exciting to see that they're they wouldn't normally scoring come through. Like, that's just what else could you ask for? Like, it's just it's a great sign.
I mean, 60 minutes? Could we ask for a full 60 minutes?
I feel like you could ask every hockey team for a full 60 minutes, you know? Like, at the end of the day, the end goal is winning a round, getting far into the playoffs, actually going for a run. 11-2-1 is all great on paper, but really the playoffs, the end game. But for now, like, we're only dealing with what we've seen so far, and I'm just going to gloat because every single Habs fan has just been on me about the depth and the scoring ability and Mark Bergevin's guns and his flow and how good he looks sitting up on the press box.
He does look like a $1 million sitting up there, though.
And
he looks like
as
like,
good looking as your general manager
Is there a GM in the league with better salad than Mark Bergevin?
No, absolutely not. No. But at the end of the day, there is nothing.
Yeah.
I love more, and I'm sure I can speak for you as well, than seeing the Maple Leafs beat the Montreal Canadiens.
Well, especially because Habs Nation. Is that even what they're called?
I don't know.
Habs Nation has been particularly annoying this year.
Absolutely.
And like the Canadian hockey media. And like myself included. Like I'm not gonna sit here and throw stones. Like I've even sat here a few times on this show and been like, man, the Habs are looking good. The Habs are looking impressive. And this has really gone to Canadians fans' heads.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, they've been particularly aggressive.
Watch the broadcast. Like, everyone's all over them. And they're a great team. And I could sit here and be analyst guy, sports radio guy, TV analyst dude, and talk about the Habs are good this, the Habs are good there, the D's big, Shea Weber, Carey Price. But at the end of the day, look on the walls here. That's a Maple Leaf sign right there. We're Maple Leafs fans. This is the Talking Buds podcast. And I don't like the Montreal Canadiens at the end of the day. I'm going to be honest with you. So anytime the Leafs cannot put in a full 60 and beat them with Ilya Mikheyev, suit man who can't get a goal.
Mikheyev, Dermott, Hyman, Hull.
Perfect.
Yeah, I know.
There you go.
Yeah, I know.
There
who's
you
got,
go.
Who's got the scoring depth now?
Exactly.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So back at it again on Saturday night. You got to expect the Habs. The Habs randomly have a game in the middle. Like, what is with this scheduling? Like, I thought everybody was going to play series against one another.
I know. They just got a random Oiler game. I guess I haven't checked the Oilers schedule, but maybe they're kind of heading over to the...
Let's check the Oilers schedule
to the Ontario side of things for some... It seems like everybody's played the Ottawa Senators. I don't know if you've noticed this, but it seems like every single team in this division has had at least like a two-gamer with the Senators.
So the Oilers... Oh, no. So the Oilers are like at the Senators last night. Then they play the Habs tomorrow for a one gamer, and then they're off for two against the Winnipeg Jets. That's right, because they...
That's a random game.
Yeah.
That's a random game thrown in there.
Yeah, that is a random game thrown in there. Well, the first game against the Habs was like a one-off.
Yeah, but you can kind of see that with proximity. Yeah. It's like, why would a Western team come all the way to Montreal to then go to Winnipeg?
These are questions that you have to ask the NHL scheduling department.
And I will cut them a break because this is not particularly the easiest season to schedule. And
do you ever think about that? I think of like, I would like, what an overwhelming job that must be.
I wonder if it's like a computer thing. Oh, you got to take, usually when you're making a schedule, you got to take into account the concert schedule, the other team playing.
That's exactly what I mean.
Yeah. The other team playing.
And this year, none
building?
Of that's a factor, but still, you're still managing travel during a pandemic.
But I will give credit to this North Division team and this country, in fact, that we even had a COVID protocol situation for any team in this country so far. Every time I go on...
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, man.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Every time I go on the Sportsnet app or the Score app or like, whatever, it's just postponed.
a Canadian team is going to win the Stanley Cup this year, because by the time we get there, there won't be any American teams left.
Yeah, it's pretty shocking. It's pretty shocking. But I like how it's going to be interesting to see what they do with points percentage, or like, is that how they're going to do it? Because I don't know if you're going to get all these games in based on all this postponement. Like, it's not like baseball where you can throw in the 7-inning doubleheaders whenever you can. They might have to work off a points percentage.
Imagine they were just like, we're going to throw in, like, we're going to play like
the old school hockey tournament.
Period and a half. Yeah.
Well, they could do the old school, like, minor hockey league tournament. Go up on Friday, play the game, then you got two on Saturday, two on Sunday.
What do you think of my, every week when we do the show, I'm always fiddling around with a pen or something. And I was cleaning the basement out this week, and I came across this, Leafs mini stick, and I'm like, maybe I'll just sit here like I'm on the bench, like
I'm just waiting to get a net down here and a blue ball.
Yeah,
I have a series,
a blue ball,
or as we call it as a kid, a serious. Yeah. Because we didn't know how to say it correctly.
Yeah,
I have a series.
So the Leafs are the best team in this division. They have the best team on paper. Tonight, again, didn't play well. They still have more scoring depth. I'm sorry if that upsets you, Montreal Canadiens fans, but that's just the way it is.
I will say I was a little hot off the start of the episode, but I'm very happy. A little. I'd say a little. You haven't seen me blow the top just yet, but I'm pretty happy that it does confirm that it is a rivalry to come off what we talked about last week and what every single person's been talking about this week. Thanks for stealing our content, by the way, is that I'm starting to hate the Montreal Canadiens because they are as good as the Leafs are in terms of points, and they're right up there, and their fans just piss me off. Oh my goodness. They think they're the best. Don't bring up 93. Don't break up 1974. I don't care about that. We're living in 2021, and I'm going to enjoy the hell out of the Leafs beating the Montreal Canadiens every time they play this season. I am sorry.
It is quite nice.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
All right, moving away from that, because we've got lots more Montreal Canadian games, and I'm sure there's no way the Leafs are going to beat them all 10 times.
No, so I'm just going to bask in it now.
Yeah, so bask in it now.
I'll sound like a bit of a dink.
Yeah, who knows what's going to happen on Saturday. There's one thing I wanted to talk to you about. Ever since this show started, I have been very open about my opinion that Austin Matthews has the potential to be. A lot of people, myself included, already think he is the greatest Maple Leaf of all time. But
ooh.
I think he's the greatest Maple Leaf of all time. And he certainly, if you don't share that opinion, he certainly has. If you can't sit here and say that he doesn't have the potential to be, I don't know what you're watching.
You're going to argue with Grandpa about that one. No one your age, my age, or even the generation above us. You got to fight with Grandpa about that one.
So one of the things I've said through the first 2 years that we did this show was I was waiting for him to take, like, we knew he was an elite scorer. We knew he was an elite talent. We knew, like, an elite offensive talent. But I was saying he needs to take that next step. And what I meant by that is he needs to get in that Hart Trophy conversation. He needs to be in the same sentence as Connor McDavid, as Sidney Crosby, as Kucherov.
Leon Draisaitl.
Yeah. As, like the elite in the game, right? And so everything you saw this offseason was that he was spending time with Connor McDavid, working on his body.
Good
and he
move.
seemed to really go to another level with his, like, fitness regime. And he is in the Hart Trophy conversation thus far into the season. His improvement in his 200-foot game, and I never thought he was horrific defensively. He definitely had to improve. But for me, it's the physicality that he's added to his game and, like, and all the stuff that, like, we could sit here and talk all day about his ability to shoot the puck. For me, that goes without saying. Like, when you think Auston Matthews, you think elite goal scoring.
He's the best wrist shot in the league. He's the
best wrist shot I've ever seen.
Yeah, like, Ovi's got the one timer. Ovi's got a great shot. But in terms of just pure wrist shot ability, he might have the best wrist shot in the league right now.
So give me your opinion, because I think that if he keeps putting together the season he's currently putting together, he should absolutely be in the Hart Trophy conversation.
What makes, I think about Auston Matthews' game, and at the end of the day, you look at his statistics at the end of the season, and it's going to be a goal-heavy season. It's going to be 40 to 50 goals a year, which is worth a ton in this league. But when you think of a Hart Trophy winner, like, what do you think of? You think of a guy that has over 100 points, usually a team that makes the playoffs. And when you think of Auston Matthews, you think of goals, you don't think of point totals. So I think with him scoring so many, he's got to score a lot of goals, and he's got to up his point totals. But like what you just said with his 200-foot game, if you add that in as well, even being in like a Selke conversation, which is going to be hard because you got your Ryan O'Reillys and your Patrice Bergerons, but he's never going to be McDavid in terms of the amount of assists he gets and point totals. But if you can get those goal totals up and you can prove to the whole league that you're lighter on your feet, you're more physical, and you're a better 200-foot game, is that enough to get a Hart Trophy?
You just highlighted the stats factor, and that is important. Like, you can't win the Hart Trophy without having the stats.
No, absolutely not.
But I do wish, like, if I can just like nerd out a bit and just make a football comparison. Okay. Aaron Rodgers just won the MVP.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. No. But listen, Aaron Rodgers just won the MVP. Okay. He did. And yes, he had the stats to back it up. Like, he had a career season. But I like the premise of MVP, because the Green Bay Packers would be in the bottom of their division if he wasn't under center. The Toronto Maple Leafs would not be 11-2-1 right now if they did not have Auston Matthews. He is so valuable to the franchise and to the team and how they play. He changes everything.
And to the entertainment value.
Oh, God. Dude, when he's not
the entertainment value, that's also a major factor.
Man. The one game that he sat out earlier this year because of his hand or whatever was hurt, I'm sitting there and I literally am just watching the game like this. It's just not the same. It's just not the same.
Yeah, it's not. And there's a jersey up on the wall that says Auston Matthews. And shout out to my boy, Eric Starcevic, who is an absolute diehard Talking Buds listener and a legend.
Cheers. Cheers, Eric.
And he got me the hookup on a jersey. And he goes, well, who do you want? And it wasn't even a thought.
Yeah.
I love Morgan Riley.
Yep.
I love him.
You do. You love Zach Hyman.
I do love Zach Hyman.
You'd take a bullet for Zach Hyman.
I would. And yeah. I'd even honestly shoot me, but I also kind of like Freddie Anderson. Yeah. Like, just, I know people don't like him, but I don't mind him. That's the first guy I thought of right there. The franchise. The number one overall pick.
Yeah.
Who is just, in my opinion, has led up to every single expectation that's put on him since he's entered this league. He is an absolute goal scoring threat, top five goal scoring threat in the National Hockey League. And then this year you add on how much better he's skating and all the highlights of him coming back on D and now they get all excited about the distance traveled statistic.
Yep.
He's number one every night.
Yep.
He's all over the ice.
Yep.
He's in his prime at a young age. And he's a force.
Yep.
And it's time for him to enter that MVP discussion, like you just said.
Yes.
And I think you're right. This year, it's happening.
So, and what where I was going with that comparison is I feel like when the NFL awards an MVP, like, that's taken, they take that into consideration more than they do when they award a Hart Trophy. Like, am I wrong? Do you think I'm wrong on that?
I think they're two different. I think the NFL is a little bit different because it's kind of like quarterback, like focused. Like, but usually the MVP.
The point I'm trying to make is Matthews is so valuable.
Oh, 100%. They don't have a number one center without him. Take Matthews out of the lineup. I like John Tavares, but Sheldon Keefe, I'll nerd out here. Go to the ice time and look how much ice time Matthews getting over Tavares this season. Sheldon Keefe agrees with you as well.
Yes.
Auston Matthews is touching up on 22, 23
let's
a night.
Let's look at tonight.
And John Tavares is kissing up on 17. Sheldon Keefe is proving your point more than anybody. He is putting him on the ice way more than everybody else.
Auston Matthews, 22.06.
Look up Johnny Boy.
15.20. Now, Tavares left the game for a little bit with the
but busted nose. I've been checking every game. Tavares is around 17, 18, and Matthews is around 22, 23 a night.
Yeah, who Brody led the team in ice time tonight with 22, 27.
Yeah, who that's another guy. He's been playing pretty well for them, I will say, but... It's just
actually no that I'm lying. I'm lying to everybody's face. The guy who led the Leafs in ice time tonight was Morgan Rielly at 26-24 for Morgan Rielly.
There you go.
Half the game.
I love Morgan Rielly.
Oh, oh man. This is a conversation. Legend. This is a conversation for another day, but like, this is actually a good conversation topic as we get closer to the off season. But like, what do you do with him? Like, can they pay him? I don't think they can.
Well, it's going to be up to Morgan Rielly to be a beauty.
Yeah.
And be like, I need to be, maybe I get a little bit of a raise, but we're not talking like 8 million here.
Do you want to piss off a huge contingent of Leafs Nation right now?
Well, if it's the contingent that I don't like, then absolutely.
Would you trade William Nylander just to give Morgan Rielly that money?
I would trade William Nylander right now.
I purposely ask you that question.
For a better dude. Come on. Did we even mention his name tonight watching the game?
No.
Get out of here, Willie.
How much ice time did Willie Nylander have?
But
15.40 for William Nylander.
But I like what Sheldon Keefe is doing. He's establishing a top line. It's like, I get that John Tavares signed a big deal and he's been a great player in this league for 10 years, but there is like what you said, there is an MVP on this team and he's 34. He plays on the number one line and he's the top center and he's by far the most dangerous goal scoring threat for this hockey team. And and Sheldon Keefe is proving it right now that he is the guy he wants on the ice more than anybody else.
All right. Well, let's take a look at the sked before we get out of here. Cause they got the Habs again on Saturday night. And then they got three straight again.
It's a good thing. You always pull up the sked here. Cause I don't know what the hell's going on half the time.
So they got Saturday night. They got the Habs again.
Look at the Senators
for three straight. I know.
Oh, like what our boy Dave Bastel said. Go back to our episode where we had him on. Guy's a legend. He said that, and you as well, said that if you go into Ottawa and you stink it up, it could be a determining factor.
Well, I think the Leafs have now put themselves
in a position where
like, if they go in and have one stinker against, like the Sens beat the Habs the other night, like, if they go in and have one stinker against the Sens, it's not the end of the world.
That was awesome.
But like, yeah.
Look at that. You have it up on your screen right now. 4-game winning streak.
Yep.
Is that a thing? Yeah. Four game winning streak. And then they lost an OT in the other one.
Yeah. So they,
there you go. Yeah. They got a point out of that. Look at that.
They haven't had a regulation loss since January 20th.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Boom. I get it. I get that we want to find flaws in our hockey team and we want to find ways that when eventually they go on that 3-game loser, you can all look at us and go, we told you so. We told you that the possession numbers weren't good.
Here's what I'll say. Admittedly, this is our third year doing this show. It's easier to curate a show and have content when the team is stinking. It's harder.
All sports media.
Yeah. It's harder when they're winning to come on here and be like, well, and that's why it pisses us off, because it's so obvious that you're just grasping at straws.
Which shows you what type of world we live in. We gotta draw straws on the negativity to have a good show.
Yeah. Now you're getting you're getting philosophical.
That's terrible. Yeah. I just love it. I love everything about this season so far. 11-2-1. You're a dominant hockey team. Like, you're dominating. You're dominating the division.
Yeah.
And I was skeptical coming in that they would be kind of like in the pack with everybody else and have a record similar to the Winnipeg Jets and the Calgary Flames. And it's just, they've put themselves in an unbelievable position.
Before we get out of here, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the Wayne Simmonds injury.
That's heartbreaking.
Yeah, I feel awful for the guy.
It's absolutely heartbreaking. And this team has had some injury problems to start off the year. Dermott went down. He came back tonight, but they had Thornton down. They got Nick Robertson down. Now they got him down.
And 6 weeks.
That's a long time.
Like, that's like, I looked it up the end. Like, that's end of March by the time he's
back.
Wayne
Simmonds looked like he was having the most fun of his life this season as well.
Yep.
Doing what he's supposed to do. That is, be a beast in front of the net and stick up for your teammates when it's appropriate to do so.
I'm going
to
knock on wood before I say this, and I'm not, like, I love Wayne Simmonds. I love what he's brought. We talked about it when they signed him during free agency that, like, we are going to love what he brings. But I think this year, more than any other year, you can get away with, like, missing a bit of that physicality. Wayne Simmonds was contributing in other ways. My favorite thing about him is the net front presence on the power play. Guy just stands in there, doesn't care at all.
And he has hands to actually, like, put one in tight as well, which a lot of guys don't have the ability to do.
So, like, I'm not sitting here saying that Simmonds solely brings, like, toughness. He brings more than that. But, like, what's another team in this division that scares you in terms of, like, bullying, pushing the Leafs around?
None. No team.
Maybe Calgary?
No team makes me nervous about bullying them. The only team that makes me kind of nervous in a playoff series is the Edmonton Oilers. And that's not for anything bullying related. It's the amount of fire. Like, they recorded their first win in 3 years without McDavid and Draisaitl recording a point.
Yeah.
That is shocking. Yeah. That is a shocking statistic.
Well, that's
their firepower scares me a little bit for, like, a 1-4-2-3 matchup. I'm not going to lie.
It's interesting that you say that, because in all likelihood, like, if you were going to play out how the division's going to, it's going to be either, like, because you would think it'll be, like, Leafs or Habs 1 and 2. So let's just say, for argument's sake, and because we're making fun of Habs
fans, I think it is going to be Leafs and Habs 1 and 2.
So, okay, so, like I said, since we're poking fun at Habs fans tonight, let's just say the Leafs finish first, and the Habs finish second. Winnipeg Jets finish third. So there's Montreal and Winnipeg in the first round. And then it's the Leafs against either Calgary or Edmonton. Because what we just saw for three games of the Vancouver Canucks, I do not think.
No, they got a lot of work to do. There's no doubt about it.
So it could very well be. And can I be honest? Like, both of those matchups kind of make me nervous. We're getting way ahead of ourselves right here.
Yeah, I was about
to
say we are getting ahead of ourselves.
Way ahead of ourselves. Any of them, like, any of them in a playoff series.
Yeah.
Like, let's just say the Habs end up winning the division, and you got to play the Winnipeg Jets. Like,
no, there's gonna be no easy. They lost to the Columbus Blue Jackets last year.
Yeah, they did.
A middling team at best that had some attributes that wasn't a good matchup for them, and they lost.
Cheers to Dave Bastel, by the way, who legit called out on our podcast. Wait till Torts gets a load of Patty Laine, and before Pierre-Luc Dubois has even played a game for the Winnipeg Jets, Laine's benched for the second and third of a game.
Poor guy.
Now, we've since learned that apparently Laine
mouthed off.
But, like, what is this, minor hockey?
Yeah.
Like, this is, like, listen, I'm not as hard on Torts because I think he's, like, I appreciate that he's, like, he's funny.
He's a guy I would love to drink a bush with John Tortorella, but I understand why some players would get a little frustrated with him after spending a whole year with him.
So, like, I get that. But at the same time, it's like, let's check the ego, dude. Like, you really, like, your ego is so big that you have to make a point with your new superstar.
Who's your best goal scorer already.
By the, like, right away. Yeah. Like, you got to show him that, like, you're the man in charge here. That's the type of stuff that we hated about Babcock.
Yeah, exactly.
We hated that stuff about Mike Babcock.
Yeah, you can't be too hard-headed around there. Absolutely not. Poor Patty Lyon. Yeah. He was right. He got screwed game two.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
I love
my
it.
Goodness.
It's so funny.
Oh, that was a great tonight. Let me just say, this whole year, I'm going to enjoy every second the Leafs beat the Montreal Canadiens. I'm coming after you this year, Montreal Canadian fans. I'm coming after you.
You're challenging them to a match.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I am. We're on the road to WrestleMania here. And I'm challenging all Habs fans to a match. I don't care about 1974. This is 2021. And I'm confident that the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to come out on top.
And on that note, we're going to head out this week. Thank you guys for checking out this week's episode of the show. If you like what you hear, head to our Instagram at that link right above us right now, at Talkin' Buds Podcast. That's where we hang out the most on social media. Tell your friends if you like the show. Hit us up on YouTube. Hit us up on Spotify, iTunes, whatever. Leave a review. Hit the like button. Leave a comment.
Leave a comment. Even if it's negative.
I think people don't actually understand like how helpful it is.
Oh, especially the comments on YouTube. Like, leave me a comment.
Yeah.
I'll go with you.
Yeah.
We'll have a tilt online. Yeah. Negative, positive.
So please go ahead and do that. Check us out if you like the show. Thanks. We'll catch you guys next week.
The Podcast Super Friends is a monthly meeting of five podcast producers.
Hi, I'm Catherine O'Brien from Branch Out Programs in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I'm John Gay from Jagged Detroit Podcasts.
I'm Matt Kundle from the Sound Off Podcast Network.
I'm David Yes from Pod 617, the Boston Podcast Network.
And I'm Johnny Peterson from Straight Up Podcasts.
Together, they form the Podcast Super Friends, an alliance of podcast masterminds sharing best practices, insights, and discussions to help make you a better podcaster. Follow or subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or at soundoff.network.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.